Greetings, my wonderful friends, and welcome to the Added to the Church of Christ Acts 2:47 page live session. Stefan Maillet here, your audio and video servant for this broadcast titled, I Will Build My Church. I Will Build My Church. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? So, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? And they said in verse 14, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. In verse 15, Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered in verse 16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Interesting how Jesus is going through this process. It's interesting how his teaching for mankind is revealed through this account. He's interested. Who do the people say that I am? You know, what are the people saying? What's the word on the street? What's happening over there? What's taking place in the streets? What are people saying about me? Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're a prophet or something. I mean, you've been performing miracles. You speak with authority. You cast out demons. You raise the dead. You heal the sick. I mean, you're something. People are talking about you, obviously, and they think you're some kind of a prophet or something. All right, well, what about you guys? What do you have to say? I mean, you guys are close to me. You're near me. You get to follow me around. What do you have to say? Well, whom do you say? And well, Peter's the one, of course, who has the answer to that. I mean, what else? Well, what other answer could there be, you know, at this stage of the game? So Peter says, you are the Christ, meaning you're the anointed one. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. You know, that's who you are. And Jesus says to him now, to Peter, the apostle here, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Because, and here's what's so interesting and important to pay attention to here, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I find that interesting because Jesus makes the call to authority, and the source in which this revealing has taken place. You know this information not because mankind just made it all up. Human beings didn't get bored one day and say, let's just create this fable, this myth, this story of a God, you know, and he'll be Jesus, and he'll walk on this earth, and he'll be the Son of God, and we'll call him that. And No. The redemptive scheme for mankind through the agency of the Christ, the Messiah, the prophesied coming King, our Savior, our risen Lord, is no matter of man-made will. Peter, what you said is right. You are correct. I am the Son of the living God. And the reason you know that is through the source of power, which is God, the great I Am. His Son. It's not man who put that idea in your mind. Men did not put that idea in your mind. Peter Similar now, looking forward to when Paul was speaking to the Galatians, telling them, hey, listen, the things we're sharing with you, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it wasn't created by mankind. It doesn't come from men. We would never even come up with such a story anyways. A story that condemns us and that we need to repent and that we need the grace of God. We'd never write anything like that. No, this gospel, Jesus Christ, walking on earth, the Son of God, comes from the source within him, deity, authority. So I find it quite interesting, to say the least, for lack of a better word, I suppose, on my part. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Great joy and happiness and inward peace found in you, Peter, because man didn't reveal this thing to you. No, this thing is reality and truth, and it was revealed to you by my Father who is in heaven. I find that fascinating, and there's so much more we could say about that. And then it moves forward to verse 18. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, which rock? The confession made in verse 17. Upon the fact that I am the Son of God. I am deity walking on earth, fulfilling all the prophecies. Because of this truth that has been revealed by my Father, the great I am, the great maker. Because of this slab, this foundation that is immovable, impenetrable, most strong against all currents and elements, persecution, and worldly attempts to destroy. No. This rock, I will build my church. I find the language revealing. I find the language quite strong. A declaration of ownership. An authoritative declaration of ownership. It's not his church, it's not that one's church, it's not their church, it's my church. Who's the my? Well, if you know a little bit about grammar, you'll follow along and you'll see that Jesus is claiming what is to be his. He is to be the head of this spiritual establishment, this spiritual house. Of course, the epistles following the day when this church was built, you'll see the apostles, guided into all truth, write that very fact, that Jesus is most certainly the head of his church. He bled and purchased it. It's his. His name should be on it. It's his authority. It's his power. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. The realm of the dead, the spiritual warfare taking place, all these things, Jesus knows far well, has the wisdom to speak of these matters. The ownership therein, I always asked myself, you know, when trying to make sense of the scriptures and this here part of the scriptures in my growth in my earlier years there, I find it interesting that If the church was to be called anything else, he would, at this very pivotal moment, speaking to his disciples, have most certainly given a different title to it. You know, he could have very well said, I will build the Catholic Church, let's say. Like, why didn't he say that? Why didn't he say, and upon this rock? Well, why doesn't it say this? You know, why didn't Jesus just say, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build the Catholic Church. I also say to you that you are a pope. You will be the first Roman Catholic pope, and upon this pope I will build the Catholic Church. Why doesn't it say that there? I mean, I asked myself those questions, right? And I asked myself, why doesn't it say any other church? Why doesn't it say, and I will build the Baptist church, or the Pentecostal church, or the Wesleyan church, the Methodist church, the Presbyterian church, the Orthodox church, the Mennonites, the Anabaptists, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Amish, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, the House of Nazareth, the Community Church, the House of this, the House of that, the Church of this, the Church of that, the blah, 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 blah. I mean, I could go on for thousands and thousands of them that we currently see today in the phone book, you know, or on Google. But yet that's not what he wrote there. That's not what the recorded words of Jesus Christ say. I mean, isn't that a valid question? Like, can't I ask that question to myself and to God? Can I say, God, why? I need to know. I want to understand why you said your church, and today we see all kinds of different churches. You know, that was a valid question I was asking at the time. I was like, why that? And I was making sense of things. I was looking at the context, you know. Who do the people say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're this, that, and the other. You're some kind of prophet. Well, who do you say that I am? I find it interesting that it was within his inner fold, his inner following, a man, Peter, recognized who he was. And through that very truth, his church would be built. And isn't it interesting today still that those who are within the fold know whose church belongs to whose church? Like, those who understand, who are members, who have been added as citizens to the kingdom of God, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, we know whose church it belongs to. It belongs to Jesus Christ. But everybody outside of that realm, kind of like, well, what do others say outside? Well, some say it's, you know, the Baptist church. Others say it's the Pentecostal church. And some say, yeah, it's the Catholic church. But, you know, many, well, who do you say that I am? Well, we know it's your church. It's the church of Christ. Okay. Well, there you go. Upon this truth, you know, things will keep on going according to my will, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I find it interesting how that is revealed in the scriptures. You know, again, having to do with this whole, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You know, it's something we can know, and we can know that Jesus said, I will build my church, and we can actually know in which century this took place and where it took place. If we actually read the Bible and understand it further or more accurately, if you will, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And he just spoke about, I will build my church. Well, if you're being honest with the text, you can see the synonymous nature. The synonymous nature of his language. The kingdom of heaven is the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. And the church that Jesus said he was going to build is this very kingdom that belongs to God. Kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the church of Christ, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, my church. If sin's not in the way, not blocking your mind from being honest with the text, I mean, you're going to see the synonymous nature of his dialect. My church, the kingdom. My church, the kingdom. My church, the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you have loosed on earth shall have been loosed in heaven, because the authority therein is God. He's the head of his church. So he knows if one of his sheep have fallen from the herd. He's just waiting for us to catch up and notice that there's been a sheep that has run astray from the herd. So for us to point out and say, hey, one of us is no longer in his grace, it's simply just realizing something. He already authoritatively set forth. And so this interaction takes place here from verse 13 to verse 20. And I find it interesting and fascinating that Jesus kind of went through this process with them. He wanted to ask them and see where they were at. And he was seeing if they were going to recognize. And Peter, of course, steps up to the plate and says what he said. And of course, if we would go through the Old Testament and we'd move forward in the New Testament, we'd find out that, this kingdom, this church, this spiritual house that Jesus said he was going to build, it was birthed from the mind of God. This plan was predestined from the beginning. Not that mankind was predestined, but that the plan that God set forth was predestined. And he used the agency of man, the mouthpiece of the prophets, if you will, to prophesy of a coming king, of a coming Messiah. So this kingdom was birthed from the mind of God. It was prophesied by the prophets, and it was promised by the Christ. It was promised by Jesus, and it was purchased by his blood. He fulfilled all things, brought to completion. He purchased this church. It was built with great power from on high, which was prophesied to happen in that way. The Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, in Jerusalem, during the Roman Empire, the doors of this kingdom were opened. Peter had the keys. He had the formula. He had the pattern. What was that pattern? What was the conditions for citizenship for those who were found outside this church that Jesus purchased with his own blood? Well, therein must have practice of faith. It must be practiced by faith. And so Peter told them, repent, and each and every single accountable individual here must be immersed in water with the authority of Jesus Christ in the name of the law in order to have your sins washed away, forgiven, removed. If you do that, God will add you to the church his son built. It's really simple stuff. It really is. It's so loving, merciful, so honest, simple. If we just get rid of all the sin and the false teachings that's in the world, we'd understand that. And you can see all of that come to fruition, all recorded for us, witnessed in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, and we can see the joy of all those who warmly accepted the word of God being preached by Peter, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they were all immersed. Those who had received his word were immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins, and that day they were added about 3,000 souls. God added those souls who came out of the water saved to his church. They were now citizens of his kingdom. I think that's beautiful. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. It's a simple cure. It's a simple solution. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus and what he did, and our response to it, our active faith. The Jews were allowed this very gospel here in Acts chapter 2, and the Gentiles were further extended this same loving gospel in Acts chapter 10. And it was confirmed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's it. And so it would be my assumption, and I believe a logical assumption and conclusion following the train of thought through these verses, reading this text and the context therein of what they did, that I would think if I did what they did in the way they did things, I would have the forgiveness of sins too, and I would become a citizen of the kingdom of God through the forgiveness of sins, the agency therein, the resurrection and blood of Jesus Christ. So if I'm a person today saying, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, I just want to know what I need to do to be right with him and be part of his church. Well, the same thing would be given, the keys therein of Peter telling us, repent, you need to change your mind, you need to stop living in sin. You need to stop practicing sinful things and behaving in sinful ways. You know, stop fornicating, stop being an adulterer. Dissolve any adulterous wedding that you might be, or union or marriage that you're part of. Stop being a drunk or a drug addict. Stop stealing. Stop lying. Stop cheating on your taxes. You know, stop believing false teachings like meritorious works or faith alone, or that women can preach, you know, or that we should have musical instruments during worship, or that we can be saved without being immersed in water, or that, you know, we can continue to believe and be part of all these denominations. You know, you got to repent of that. You got to change your mind about that. If you're a Catholic, you need to stop being a Catholic. You need to leave the Catholic Church if you want to be right with God. If you're a Baptist, you have to stop going to the Baptist church and believing what the Baptists believe, because what the Baptists believe and what the Catholics believe and all these denominations believe is not what the God of the Bible declares through his revelation, Jesus Christ, the words we can read therein. You have Jesus saying, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, and then you have the Baptist saying, whoever believes is saved, and then later on can be baptized as an outward expression of an inward grace. You can't go to heaven that way. That's not what God says. That's not what Jesus says. So if you want to be right with God, you got to repent. You got to repent of those things. You got to leave the Pentecostal church. The Pentecostal church makes the Holy Spirit out to be a thing, an electric energy of some sort that gives you all kinds of miraculous power and the ability to speak in tongues and to roll all kinds of silly ways on the ground and do all kinds of noises and strange things and, you know, get bit by snakes and die. Like, that's a myth. That's science fiction. That's not true. It's a lie. You need to leave the Pentecostal church. They are lying to you about who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does. They've been lying to you. You need to leave that church. You need to repent. All these denominations, if you are found within them, you are not pleasing with God, because A, they don't preach the right plan of salvation. B, they don't worship God in spirit and truth. And C, they don't teach you the proper behavioral attributes we must have as Christians according to the New Testament pattern. So you need to repent. I had to. Everyone who is humble, everyone who respects God and is penitent to his power, has a healthy fear of his judgment and justice, are going to read with an open mind and heart, rightly divide the scriptures, and see the wonderful, honest, and simple plan of salvation laid out for us. Whoever believes and is immersed shall be saved. If you rightly divide those scriptures, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, John 3:3, John 3:5, Galatians 3:26-27, First Peter 3:21, Colossians 2:12, Romans 6:3-4, and so on and so forth, on and on, you'll see this pattern, this system. And so to become a citizen, you repent of that. You let those things go. Now, that doesn't mean you need to know every single little thing there's out there, but you should know that you're lost and that you want to be saved and that you need to stop living in sin and that you need to be immersed in water with the authority of Jesus Christ, the power of his blood and resurrection. You need to go in that water if you wish to have your sins washed away, Acts 22:16. There's no way around it. Every single human being who doesn't understand the nature of the kingdom of God, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, and the entrance to it therein, obedience therein, are going to be lost. You understand that. We can see that very kind of similar principle with the ark and Noah. During the age of Noah, only 8 souls were saved from the flood in the boat. The boat, of course, the church now representing this very location designated and designed by God in which human beings must be found in for their souls to be saved. So if you're not a member of the church that Jesus built and spoke about in Matthew 16, then friends, you can huss and fuss and turn purple. It won't change it. It will never go away, this truth. You can reject it. You can choose not to believe it. And you can call us every kind of name in the book. It's never going to change. And you're going to be made known to that once it's time for you to meet the Maker. That's just, it's a scriptural fact. It's reality. It's a truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. How? Through the word of God. John 8:31, John 8:32. It is through the word of God that we grow this faith. Romans 10:17, the words of Jesus Christ. This is how God, the Maker, has communicated to us in this current messianic age, through his son, Jesus Christ, who said he would build his church. He built his church. It was built in Jerusalem during the first century, the Roman Empire, with the Holy Spirit, great power from on high. This was prophesied by the prophets of old anyways, specifically Joel. If you look at Joel and you look at Acts chapter 2, you'll see the great similarities therein. Well, it's not an osmosis kind of an event here. It was pre-planned, predestined. God had this in motion from the very beginning, and you have a taste of that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The cure was on the way, Jesus Christ. I will build my church. Friends, you cannot go to heaven and be pleasing to God if you are part of a church that Jesus did not build. And until you can prove to me that Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 says, I will build any other church, I'm afraid you're not going to convince me to skip and jump out of the vessel, which has safety and security, spiritually speaking, which is the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Even Paul, speaking to the Christians in Rome, understood to whom these congregations belong to. In Romans chapter 16, verse 16, he says the congregations, the churches of Christ. Why? Because Paul understood to whom they belong to. You see, it's the one same kind of church, the one Jesus said he would build. There are just many different local congregations of this one same kind of doctrine and church around the world. And Paul understood that. That's why he said all the churches of Christ. And interestingly enough, the following verse in Romans 16:17, isn't it quite revealing how Paul warns out of concern to those who are going to try to change that? We're going to try to do things that are divisive. Paul had to deal with the beginning of denominationalism in 1 Corinthians, didn't he? I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. I'm this one. I'm that one. Already trying to cause factions, separating themselves. No, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, like we started this in this account, Jesus said, I will build my church. He never said he would build the Catholic Church. He never did. The Catholic Church belongs to the Catholics, to the Romans. It doesn't belong to Jesus Christ. They may say it does. The Roman Catholic Pope may say till he turns purple that it belongs to Jesus Christ. It does not belong to Jesus Christ. If it did, it would have his name and his doctrine and his people. But it doesn't. The Roman Catholic Church has the Roman Catholic Pope and Roman Catholics. That's what that is. The Roman Catholic baptism or sprinkling creates another Roman Catholic follower. I know that because I was born in a Catholic family, in a Catholic community, and Catholics produce Catholics. That's what the Catholic doctrines teach and do, their traditions. Their Holy Mother Church is the Roman Catholic Church. It was built by a man. Well, by the entities of governing power and influence and wayward Christians and leaders and elders came together for political gain, and pluralism, and Catholicism was birth. It has nothing to do with Jesus. When Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church, this is talking about centuries earlier. The Catholic Church came centuries later. It was built by man. Now, you'd have to convince me that the Catholic Church is the church Jesus built by going to the Bible, the only source of trustable information, and show me. But you can't. I've tried to look for it there. It isn't there. And this verse clearly says that Jesus would build his church. And what about the many other denominations protesting the Catholic Church that came centuries later? We can look at the Baptists, the Pentecostals, and all these other denominations. And again, nowheres in the scriptures does it say that Jesus owns those churches. He has nothing to do with those denominations. The Baptist Church does not belong to Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that to be rude or disrespectful or self-righteous or pharisaical. It's a legal right. It's a legal reality. It's a truth of scriptural matter. I can read the book, and it's not just a matter of my own interpretation. When we start playing that game, then we make God out to be whoever we want him to be. Oh, well, I want God to be this kind, and you go ahead and you make up your own God, and we'll both together be united in our division. Hogwash. Trash. Not true. Friends, Jesus never built the Baptist Church, the Pentecostal Church, the Catholic Church, the Wesleyan Church, the Anabaptists, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, the Gospel Halls. None of these churches belong to Jesus Christ, and no soul within them is going to heaven. Now, if someone doesn't love you enough to tell you that, I feel sorry. I'm just not that type of guy. I need to tell you that because I want you to go to heaven one day. I want you to follow Jesus. I want you to understand that when he said, I will build my church, he did. He did. And there's a way in. Again, back to Peter's keys telling us, repent, change your mind. Stop going to these denominational churches. Leave them. Stop practicing sinful things. Homosexuality, abortion. Everything that's involved with all of that. Stop those things. Confess Jesus as your Lord and Master. You will follow him from now on. You will deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow Jesus Christ. You will have counted the cost, knowing that you will receive great persecution. Your own family members are going to hate you for going away from their traditions, man-made traditions. Count the cost. You will qualify to be immersed in water with the authority of Jesus Christ in order to have your sins washed away. God will add you to his church. And then false teachers are going to want to come in and try to manipulate this very truth and tell you things like, oh, you know, don't believe that. That's a work-based salvation. Baptism is a work. Being immersed in water is a works, and you can't be saved by works because of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And they got it all wrong. They're wrongly dividing the scriptures. They got it all wrong. James chapter 2 does not contradict Ephesians chapter 2. We're talking about two different contexts, and the word works, W-O-R-K-S, has a different description. And nowhere will you find in the New Testament Bible being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins as a works that we should boast about. We're saved by faith. We need faith. Can't be pleasing to God without faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Well, what does faith look like? Faith looks like an active, very alive practice. That's what faith looks like. See, faith alone is dead. It has no active element to it. It's a dead faith leading people to an eternal demise. Faith alone is a lie. It's a Baptist lie. Being immersed in water as a repentant believer for the forgiveness of your sins through the authority of Jesus Christ is a scriptural truth. Where does immersion come from? From heaven or from men? If from men, who? Who invented that we needed to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins? Is it a man? What's his name? When was he born? When did he say those things? Or could it be that it's actually found from heaven in the Bible? Well, we don't want to do that because then we'd be, you know, we'd have to do that, wouldn't we? Well, yeah, we have to do that. We need to let go our pride and our divisive ways and our emotional investment in our own emotions and the tradition passed on to us through our forefathers who belonged to foreign churches that do not belong to Jesus Christ. Now, I know that makes sense. I know it does. It may pierce, it may hurt, but it makes sense because it's true. So Jesus said he would build his church. The way, the entrance therein is our repentance, our willingness to deny ourselves and put him first. Whatever he says we must do, we do. And if we're willing to do that, then we qualify to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. And it's not a works, and it's not an outward expression of an inward salvation. No, no, you're doing that. You're going in the water in order to be saved. Well, I was already baptized in the Baptist church. God didn't recognize that baptism. You're still lost. You mean to tell me I've never been saved? No. You want me to lie to you? Do you want me to tell you yes, and then you'll think yes, and then you'll die and find out that I lied to you and that you lied to yourself and now you're going to torment for eternity? You don't want that. So I'm going to tell you the truth. You've never been saved. You've never been right with God. But I felt him in my heart. No, you did not. You've deceived yourself into thinking that, but Jesus is not in your heart. I accepted him as my Lord and Savior when I was 11. No, you didn't. Well, I felt him and I've had dreams. No, you haven't. You're trying to manipulate the narrative. You're trying to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you've emotionally invested yourself in your own deception, trusting your own feelings. You know, the Bible has much to say about doing that. Don't do that. Don't trust your own feelings. But I've been baptized as a baby. They poured water on my head. God didn't recognize that. God doesn't recognize you. God never commanded anyone as a baby to be sprinkled with water, or as a child to be poured water on his head. That's all denominational stuff. That's all stuff that belongs to the devil, masquerading as an angel of light. It's a false hope in a heaven you'll never see. All of that stuff. All of that stuff. There's love and grace, forgiveness, unity, mercy, all of that wonderful stuff. You just need to do things the way the Bible says do things. And Jesus said he would build his church. He did. It's a one-of-a-kind church. It's very unique. It has a system of entrance. It has conditions for citizenship. And once within its country, its walls, its house, there's a way to worship God in spirit and in truth. The right frame of mind and the right doctrine. That's important. It's not our house. We can't go redecorating everything. Can't go painting the walls pink. It's not our house. Can't just enter the door and go in the fridge like you want to. It's not your house. It's God's house. He structured the walls the way he wanted them. I want gopher wood. And you think you're going to bring in any kind of different lumber in there? It's not going to work out for you very well. Well, I love musical instruments and it amplifies my spiritual sense and I want to worship God with a piano and a guitar. And well, sir, I love pickles, so I'm going to put a pickle in your Subway sandwich. I don't want pickles in my sub. If you put pickles in my sub, I'm not going to purchase the thing. I'm not going to eat it. Oh, you'll love the pickles. I love the pickles and I know you'll love the pickles, so I'm going to put the pickles in your Subway sandwich. Well, I'm not buying it. If you put pickles in my Subway sub, it's nothing I'm going to purchase. It's not going to belong to me. It's not the sub I asked for. It's not the one I'm paying for. Imagine somebody walks into your house, starts painting the house, starts painting the walls pink. What are you doing, man? Oh, I love the color pink. You'll love it too. Just sit back, relax. We're going to paint all your walls super neon pink here, you'll be fine. No, get out. I purchased this house, it's mine. Oh no, no, don't worry about it. We're gonna paint the walls pink. You're gonna love the walls. They're gonna be pink and shiny. I don't want no pink walls. It's my house. I purchased it. It came at a great cost. I purchased this house. It's mine. I don't want pink walls. Get out. Well, I'm going to take your TV and I'm going to bring it outside in the lawn. I don't want my TV outside in the lawn. I had a specific designated area in which I purposed to put that TV. It's in the living room in my house because I purchased this house. It's my house. Well, let's call your house Frank's house. It's not Frank's house. It's Stefan's house. I purchased this house. It's mine. Why on earth would I want to call it Frank's house? Well, let's call it Mary's house. Why on earth am I going to pay? Leave my house. You do not belong to me. I do not know you. You need to leave my house. You do not belong to me. You do not belong in this house. You're not following the rules. Get out. It's my house. It's Stefan's house. And I love the color of my walls. You're not going to paint them pink. Okay, you understand what I'm saying, aren't you? You're following the illustration, aren't you? Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, a spiritual house, a kingdom. It's his. And yet we want to go in there and try to change the colors of the wall? And we want to change the location in which his subjects are to remain? Oh yeah, God will be fine with it. There's nothing in the Bible that says we can't. It's the most foolish argument ever made. It's a selfish one. It's like saying, well, I can smoke crack cocaine because there's not a verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt not smoke crack cocaine. Well, I can call the house anything I want to. I can call it a Catholic house, a Baptist house, a Pentecostal house. Well, you can go ahead, but it don't belong to God. Well, I want to worship God with drums and pianos and harmonicas and all this light show thing. And it'll get us in the spirit. Oh, it's a spirit, all right, but it ain't the spirit that God, it's not the spirit of God, that's for sure. Oh, yeah, you'll love these pickles in your sub, sir. No, I won't. I don't want any pickles in my sub sandwich. I'm not purchasing that sub if you put pickles in my sub. I'm not going to buy it. Oh, yeah, you'll love it. No, I won't. Well, God gave us a rule of law, a book, a communicative device, to which we can know his nature and his law. Jesus said he'd build his church. We want to create all these different churches. We want to worship him in all these different ways. It's a mess. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of people surprised on the day the sky opens. A lot of billions of people claiming Christianity are going to be so shocked. So devastated, so enamored with unbelief. Like, I can't believe this is happening. This can't be true. We thought that we were pleasing you, God. We thought that we were doing everything you wanted us to do. I mean, what do you mean you don't know us? What do you mean? This makes absolutely no sense. I can't understand what you're saying. I mean, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, these are religious people, Christians, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles, and I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work, practice lawlessness. Well, we went to church. I mean, we were part of this, that, and the other denomination. We gave money. We were mission-minded. And I don't know you. You wanted to change the colors of the house. You wanted to add some pickles in the sub. Jesus said he would build his church. He did. That's it. All the others are masquerading as his, but they don't belong to him. They don't belong to Jesus. They don't belong to Jesus. You got to get that right. You got to listen to what I'm telling you. You got to pay attention to the words I'm proclaiming here. I didn't just come up with them. I read them somewheres. I took the time to read and study these things, and I'm sharing it with you in the hopes that you'll pay attention, so that I may save some. I became all things to all men so that I may save some. Because most are going to reject everything here. You see, this truth, this reality, this scriptural right, this God-breathed literature and information is foolishness to the one who is perishing. But it is the power of God to all who are being saved. You see, if I tell you that the Bible so specifically says and commands that a repentant believer must be immersed in water for the forgiveness of his sins, you're going to think that's foolish. If you're if you've been deceived and swayed into the denominational way of thinking of things, you're going to think that's just foolishness. There's no way. You don't need to be immersed in water to go to heaven or be part of any other church. As long as you're a good person, you're a Christian, you confess Christ, you know, and everything, and you find a church you really like, they make Christ out to be a buffet. They make Christ to be some kind of a buffet. You come in with a plate and you pick and choose what you really want to put in your plate, you know, get your fill on the things you like, but reject everything you don't really want to put in your plate there. And that's religion. Yeah, that's Christianity. Oh, you don't like this whole thing about baptism being necessary for salvation. That's all right. You can leave it in the buffet tray. You pick up what you want. Oh, here's this faith alone, accept Jesus in your heart, sinner's prayer thing. Yeah, I'll put that in my plate. I like that. Because that doesn't really call me to repent of anything. Oh, here's this whole tradition thing, you know, this whole earn salvation through meritorious works thing. Yeah, I'll put some of that in my plate, you know, but I'll leave out everything else, you know, grace and all that good stuff. Nah, I don't need that. You know, we think Christianity is a buffet. Friends, we got it all wrong. We will never see heaven. We will never see heaven. You know, it's the person who's lost a loved one. It's a person who's lost a loved one, and he's or she is in deep pain from the loss. And so they create myth to soothe their mind. They'll say things like, oh, you know what? I know Uncle Joe was with me. I felt his breeze in the winds today, and the birds were looking at me a certain way, and I knew it was him. He's a guardian angel now. He's looking after us. No, he's dead and he's lost forever. He's not a tree. He's not a bird. He's not an angel. He's gone. He don't see you. He ain't here no more. But we create this false narrative, this myth, in order to soothe our minds. And we get trapped in a lie. That's denominationalism. Well, my parents died in the Catholic Church, and they were faithful Catholics, and they're in heaven, and God better let them in heaven because they were good people. Yeah, you keep telling yourself that. Yeah, you keep fighting that one. You keep going with that. Well, my parents were Baptists, my grandparents were Baptists, and all my family are Baptists, and we're following Baptists, and we're going to be Baptists till we die. Yep, I believe you. You're going to die a Baptist. I'm 100% sure of that. Well, I was baptized by the Holy Spirit fire in the Pentecostal church, and I'm a Pentecostal. And woo, got the Holy Spirit. Woo! Yeah, you keep believing that. Yeah, you keep going that way. Yeah, you keep doing that. A lot of people are going to be shocked. A lot of people. I don't say that lightly. I say that knowing full well I need God's grace and mercy and forgiveness and pardon and long suffering. I know that. But I know he's not going to contradict his words. And I need to do what his words say. I need to love him enough to obey his commands. I need to show him my faith in him, my trust in him. I need to be faithful. I need to understand the uniqueness of the Church of Christ. I need to understand the uniqueness of the plan of salvation and the behavior of a Christian. You know, we once had a visitor come for a long while, several months. And finally she got up and said, you know what? I don't want to come here anymore. Well, why is that, ma'am? You guys are so different. You're weird. You guys are completely different than every other church. She took that as a negative thing. I thought, shouldn't that interest you even more? To know why we're so different? You guys are so different. You guys don't have any musical instruments. You guys don't have any women preachers. You guys don't have this cathedral. You guys don't have... you guys are just too weird for me. You're too... You're different. I don't want to be here. Bye. Hopefully you'll come back. Be praying for you. The church that belongs to Jesus Christ is the one he said he would build. It belongs to him. It's under his name. It's his... He's the boss. We want to try to redecorate, don't we? We want to try to do things differently. Oh, we're bad for that, aren't we? Oh, boys. Talking truth here. People don't like that. No. People don't like the truth. No, sir. Especially in generation emotionalism. In generation pluralism. Relativism. Let's accept everything. Everyone's right. Nobody really knows the truth anyways. Just be happy, do your thing. You want to be a Christian? Cool. Just pick and choose what you really like. You'll be fine. You'll go to heaven. Everybody goes to heaven. God's a really good God. He loves everyone, See how they dumb down the grace of God, the love of God? They want a God that is loving, yet they don't want the justice. They don't want the judgment. It's hypocritical. Trying to ask God to be something he's not and act a certain way. It's crazy. So, I will build my church. Jesus most certainly did build his church. It was birthed from the mind of God, prophesied by the prophets of old, promised by the Christ, purchased by his blood, and must be practiced by our faith. Hit pause, rewind, listen again. How do we enter... how do we have the forgiveness of sins? How do we become citizens of his kingdom? Repent and let each and every individual accountable person here be immersed in water with the authority of Jesus Christ in order to have the forgiveness of sins. God will add you to his church, his kingdom, his body. Everything else is a lie. All these denominations are lies. They may have had genuine, sincere beginnings, but they're all lies. Not leading you to heaven whatsoever. Not going to happen. If you have comments or questions, by all means, let them be known. Send us a private message if you will. Check out vimeo.com/addedsouls and you'll find our channel and podcasts and sermons and things of that nature. Again, vimeo.com/addedsouls. You can also find us on Podbean or iTunes and all that good stuff. We're all over the place. We want to proclaim the truth because people have been lied to for a long time. People have been lied to for a long, long, long time. And it's time they wake up. There needs to be an awakening. In America and Canada and around the world, people are going down the flusher, completely immoral. Why? Because they don't know if there's really a God out there anymore. Anyways, we're all animals, Some kind of a big bang happened many billions of years ago, and for whatever reason, something evolved out of primordial soup and slime, and here we are. No purpose, no right, no wrong. Who cares? Let's murder babies. We're going down. We need to return to God. We need to repent. We need to stop wandering in the wilderness, seeking reeds shaken by the wind. We need strength again. We need courage. We need men of God to stand up, expose sin, and preach the grace and mercy and love of Jesus Christ and the entrance to his church, his kingdom. We need these things to take place. We need an awakening. It's going to be strong. There might be war. But when the smoke clears, our Lord will be there for us. He'll be there for all his faithful children who have put trust in him, who have obeyed him. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. You want to know more about that? Contact us. We'll study with you. We'll study with you. But if you're a knucklehead, a rebellious, stiff-necked person who just wants to argue, who has no purpose in his heart to be humble whatsoever, just wants to name call and think he's some kind of virtue signaling, knight in shining armor, you can stay away. Go away. We don't want you here. You've already set your mind. You've already dug your heels. You've already known You've already told yourself you're never going to allow the information we share to enter your heart. You don't want the Bible in there. You want your own ways. Go away. We want people who are seeking the truth. Seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Ask. Right? Seek. Knock. You'll know. The truth will be revealed to you. Friends, stay positive. Stay focused. Stay positive. Stay focused. Vimeo.com/added souls. You can subscribe. It's free. I'd love to see you there. You're going to find weekly podcast sessions discussing various religious topics. And I also upload my Sunday weekly sermons. I love you guys. I truly mean that. I'm in this spiritual career for a reason. Because God called me out of a dying world. And what a fool I would be if I wouldn't share this grace with everyone around me. And this technology allows me to do that. So when my neighbor no longer wants to open the door to me and hear about Jesus, you know what I do? I turn on the computer and this camera, and I have a whole bunch of people listening. Jesus Christ saves. Jesus. Because of Jesus, I don't need to die anymore. Because of Jesus, I don't need to face torment for eternity anymore. I don't need to be involved in drugs and alcohol and fornication and adultery and greed and violence and gossip and murder and everything else. I don't need that anymore. Because of Jesus, I don't need to be trapped in the traditions and churches of men. I don't need to be a Catholic or a Baptist or a Pentecostal or a Wesleyan or a Methodist or an Orthodox or a Presbyterian or an Anabaptist or a Mennonite or a Seventh-day Adventist. I don't need to be none of it. All I need to be is a Christian because Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Stay frosty, my friends. Pay attention to the substance of the words being proclaimed. Share with those you think will want to listen. Stay positive, stay focused. Talk to you next time. God bless.